If you can, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to continue in our series on the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Let's look at verse 1 through 17. We're going to read all the Ten Commandments. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day again to be in your house. Lord, it was a long week. I know for most of us, a hard week of work and getting things done, but it's a privilege to be in your house today. Thank you so much for the honor and privilege it is to preach your word. And Lord, you know my heart, I have no confidence in myself. My confidence lies in you and in your word. And I just pray today as we study this commandment, the commandment not to bear false witness, that it will be a blessing to your people, that it will open up the eyes of those who think it's not so much of a bad thing to tell a lie. We know that you're a God of truth, and you require truth from your people. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray for the lost today, that they would today would be the day that they would turn, and they would repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Pray for pastors in the 11 o'clock service and in the 1 o'clock. Pray your will be done today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand with me, please, and let's go to Exodus 20, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 17. And the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Thank you. You may be seated. So today, we'll be looking at the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment, when taken at face value, is condemning the crime of false testimony and perjury in a court of law. The word witness here in our text comes from the Greek word aid, which means witness, testimony, or evidence. So we see that we are to be an honest witness. We are always to testify in truth, and we are never to bring false evidence. We know the Lord is not limiting honesty to a courtroom here, but rather that honesty be the very fiber of our Christian character. Truth is essential in every aspect of our Christian life. We live in an age now where deception and deceit runs rampant. This shouldn't be so with those that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be salt in this world. Amen. We're not to be of this world. We are in it, but we are not of it. We ought to be known as people who speak the truth. And preacher last week taught out of this psalm, Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51:6, David said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. David, he confessed this truth when he was being transparent with God, when confessing his sin toward God with Bathsheba. The word rendered desires means to have pleasure in, to delight in. So God desires and delights in truth. Amen? So why does God delight in truth? It's a good question, right? And it's a very simple answer. Because he is a God of truth. He is truth. His word is truth. And we'll see more about that later. Now, the word rendered inward parts in Psalm 51:6 means the seat of the mind. It means the feelings, the intellect. It's our soul. It's our heart. David asked this question in Psalm 15:1. He says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In other words, who is truly religious? Who will enter into heaven? Who will be saved? And the answer, the man who is upright, just, honest, and truthful. Psalm 15:2, he says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Truth in our inward parts is what God wants. And man needs to be honest with himself about his condition. Man has to agree with God, what God says about him, about his sin. So we see that the command is that we are to abstain from lying. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25, and put a marker there in Exodus chapter 20. And if Noel, if I can ask you just to turn the mic down just a tad for me, please. Ephesians 4:25. The Bible says, wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And again, as I said in the last message on thou shalt not steal, Paul is telling the Ephesians that they are not to be like their former selves before conversion. And he told them in chapter 4, let him that stole steal no more. And here in verse 25, he says to put away lying. Verse 23 of the same chapter says that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we need to change our mind towards these sins. These are sins that the old man committed before conversion. Amen? In Ephesians 4:24, he says, and that ye put on the new man. The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God commands everyone to not bear false witness. But even more so, the Christian should not be involved with this sin. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6, and expects those who follow him to be people of truth. So before we go any further, let's first define what the truth is not, what is a falsehood, and what is a lie. And then we see letter A, the elements of a lie. There are many, many, many elements to a lie, but we will just touch on three here for time's sake. We see one, speaking what is not true. Now, this is saying anything that is inaccurate or false. This is the opposite of the truth. No matter how small or how harmless the falsehood may seem, God tells us not to do it. In verse 16, God tells us plain and simple, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, let's go back to our text in Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at verses 13 through 16. Exodus 20, 13 through 16, he says in verse 13, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So we see here these four commandments are toward our fellow man, and God made it pretty black and white. No gray area and no caveats, right? The other six commandments have a little bit of an explanation to them. But these four commandments, he just says, don't do them, right? He says, He only says that we should not commit these sins. So we saw speaking what is not true. And then we see number two, speaking what is not true on purpose. Speaking what is not true on purpose. It's one thing to say something that is not true on accident or misremember the facts of a story. I mean, that happens to all of us from time to time, right? Like you just misremember something and you don't say it the right way. I mean, it's not true, but technically you didn't mean to do it. We're talking about when you speak things that are not true on purpose, with intent. When that happens, when it's an accident, we should always correct it or apologize for it when we're made aware of it. But saying something that is not true on purpose, there is absolutely no excuse for that. This is obvious lying and goes against the ninth commandment of God. Then we see number three, speaking what is not true with the intention to deceive. With the intention to deceive. Now, people lie for all sorts of reasons. But when people lie with the intention to deceive someone, this is especially wicked in the sight of God. The intention to deceive. Let's look at a familiar story in the Bible of a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira who lied with the intention to deceive. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Forget verse 1. Acts 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession." Now let's just stop right here for a second. So what we see here, what's happening at the end of chapter 4, there was multitudes of people being converted because of the powerful preaching of the apostles. And these new converts were selling property and material goods and laying the money of their selling at the apostles' feet. And in comes Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who also sold possessions to give the money to the apostles, but they did something different. They did something different. Let's look at verse 2 of Acts chapter 5. The Bible says, "And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet." So in other words, they sold the land for more than what they said, and they kept a portion for themselves. The apostle Peter confronts Ananias for his deception, and we see that in verse 3. In verse 3, the Bible says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land?" Now notice here, Peter said Satan filled his heart to lie, and that the lie was toward the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, the Bible says, "Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So again, we see this lie was conceived or originated in the heart of Ananias, his heart. And Peter now says that the lie was not towards man, but unto God. First he says it was against the Holy Spirit, then he says God. So we see that God and the Holy Spirit are interchangeable. God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Son are the same. It's known as the Godhead, amen? So in verses 5 through 6, the Bible says, "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him." So Ananias paid for his lie with his life. God struck him dead on the spot. Let's see what happens to his wife now. And let's go to verse 7 of chapter 5. "And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." So he's giving her an opportunity to tell the truth. But obviously they conspired together to tell this lie. And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." Then she fell down straightway, immediately, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. So Ananias and his wife Sapphira paid for their lies. God strikes them both dead on the spot for their deceit. Now, do you think that they thought that their lie was that bad? Maybe they thought they were just telling, you know, a little white lie. They thought there was no harm in it. We're just going to keep a portion of the price and just keep it for ourselves. We don't have to tell them the whole amount. But it was a lie. Look what God thought about it. He struck them dead. See, there's a difference, and let us be reminded that there's a difference between what we think and what God thinks. Right? What God thinks is totally different than what we think, and we must always consider what God thinks over ourselves, over what we think, over our feelings. Now let's go back to our text in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, and before God gave Moses the commandments, he states in the first couple of verses in Exodus 20, and he says, "And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God." Again, it's not what man thinks. It's not what man thinks. It's what God says. And these commandments come from the Lord God. God also states in his word that lying, just like other sins, comes from the heart of men. Peter told Ananias that his lie originated or was conceived in his heart. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. We'll look at verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. A familiar portion of scripture, but a great portion of scripture that tells us about our heart. Verse 9, the Bible says, well, first, this portion of scripture states that lying is rooted in our depraved hearts. This is where it comes from. And verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we have heard this before, that the heart of man, your heart and my heart, is deceitful above all things, all things. So what does that mean? That means that our heart is the most deceitful thing in this world. It's above all things, our heart. There's a famous saying, and I know you guys heard it before. It says, follow your heart, right? I mean, after reading what God says about our hearts in this verse, who would want to do that? I don't want to follow my heart. Why? Because it's desperately wicked. It's sinful above all things. And man has a propensity to lie, to be dishonest. Again, Jesus told us that this comes out of the heart of man. So we saw this verse last week, but it's worth looking at it again. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Verse 20. The Bible says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So again, we see that the Lord labels these sins as evil and tells us that they come from our heart. This should help us to see the sinfulness of lying, of deceiving, of falsehoods, and that it shouldn't be made light of. It shouldn't just be swept under the rug. Amen? How about this? It shouldn't be tolerated from our children. It shouldn't be tolerated, lying. We should punish lying, and we should deal with it immediately. What happens to kids that are liars? They grow up to be adults who are liars. That's what happens. Let's see some statistics on lying. I think some of these stats will surprise you. And this was taken from a survey in 2021. By the age of 4, this survey showed that 90% of children have learned the concept of lying. Now, lying comes, they come out of the womb lying. That's in their hearts already, right? So, but the thing is that they're starting to understand how to deceive and the concept of doing it by the age of 4. They're getting an understanding of how it works. Now, based on studies performed in the past, it is estimated that 60% of adults cannot have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. Within those 10 minutes, an average of 3 lies were told. I mean, how sad is that for a grown man or a woman to be incapable of telling the truth? I mean, I can understand a child, but an adult lies 3 times in a 10-minute span. I mean, after seeing that stat, I'm going to look at every conversation with someone in the world differently, right? Your coworkers, like, you know, how many times did they lie? In 10 minutes, you tell 3 lies. This stat shows, of this category, who gets lied to the most. We see number one, in a whopping 86%, it's parents get lied to the most. Parents. Children, you know, you need to honor their parents and not lie to your parents. Coming in number two, people lie to their friends at a 75% clip. Their friends. You know, people, you're supposed to be friends. I don't know, you know, why would you think that lying is good to each other? Then we see at number three, at 73%, right behind friends is siblings. People lie to their siblings at 73%. Then we see number four, it's your spouse. 69% people lie to their spouses, which is wrong because that relationship is supposed to be based on trust. And if you're lying to your spouse, that's not good. I remember we had a boss named Robert Colon way back when, and he would leave the job and tell us, if my wife calls, tell her I want to go do something. You remember that, right? He would have, you know, the crew members lie to his wife on the phone, and who knows what he was doing, but he was always saying, just tell her I'm going getting product, tell her I'm doing this, tell her I'm in a meeting, but he would say, lie. I mean, we thought it was funny back then, but looking now, it's disgusting. It's wicked. He's lying to his wife. Probably up to no good. Then we see the next category, where the most lies are seen. Where they're seen the most. So in second place, we see that the most lies are seen on resumes, on people's resumes. People lie about their education, about experience, and they're doing it because they want to deceive them into thinking that they're better than what they say they are so they can get this position or get this job. It's lying. That's supposed to be, I guess, like a portrait of your work experience, and you're supposed to be truthful on that so they can make a good judgment on who the employer should hire. And when you lie, you're deceiving the employer. Then we see first place. This is no surprise. People lie on dating sites, of course, because they're trying to, you know, just tell falsehoods about themselves and make themselves appear more, you know, better than what they are. Then we see some stats on everyday lying. 12% of adults admit to telling a lie often or sometimes. 80% of women admit to telling harmless half-truths just occasionally. Occasionally. A half-truth is a lie. You're supposed to swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. When you tell a half-truth, you're telling a lie. 31% of people admit to lying on their resumes, as you saw. 13% of patients lie to their doctor. Now, what do you gain by lying to your doctor? He's supposed to be there to help you. So you're going to tell him a lie? Like, why? It's just pride. It's ridiculous. 30% of patients stretch the truth to their doctor. 30% lie about their diet and exercise regimens. You go to the doctor for an appointment, and he tells you, when you come back in 6 months, I need you to lose, you know, such and such 20 pounds. And you're going to do it by exercising and by sticking to this diet. You come back 6 months later and you've gained 10 pounds. And you say, doctor, I don't know what happened. I followed the diet. Of course, obviously you're lying. 6 lies are told daily by men to their partner, boss, or colleagues. 3 lies are told daily by women to their partner, boss, or colleagues. So obviously we see that men have a tendency to lie more than women. Lying is considered more common among phone calls than face-to-face chats. And why? Because it's easier to lie when you don't have to look at somebody face to face or look at somebody in the eye and make eye contact. It's easier to lie that way. 1 lie in every 7 is discovered as far as liars can tell. 1/10 of lies are just exaggerations, and 60% were outright deceptions. 70% of liars claim that they would tell their lies again. They have no problem telling the lie again. Americans tell an average of 11 lies a week. And most people lie an average of 4 times a day, which equates to 1,460 lies every year. Now, think with me for a second. If you multiply that to a person's life, a person who lives 70, 80, 90 years, that's a lot of lies in a lifetime. Amen? We need to be forgiven for that. And that was a long intro, and that brings us to our first point. The characteristics of the family of God. The characteristics of the family of God. Now, the family of God is all of the saved on earth and in heaven. And this is seen in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The head of this family is God Almighty. Now, God cannot lie. God is the epitome of truth. He is the personification of truth. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and let's look at verse 18. Hebrews 6:18. Excuse me, 1 second. I'll be right with you. So, Hebrews 6:18, the Bible says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So we see here, Paul is telling us that it's impossible. It can't happen. It won't ever happen. God cannot lie. Psalm 31:5, God is called the God of truth. In Psalm 31:5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. God of truth. This is why we can trust God with our salvation. When he says, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. When God says, if we repent of our sin and place our faith and trust in Jesus alone, that we can be converted, we should trust and embrace that God says what he means and means what he says, because he is a God of truth. We can trust him to answer our prayers, and we can trust his word, because God cannot lie. O Lord, God of truth, the Son of God, Jesus is the truth. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14. John 14. I quoted this earlier, but this is just a great portion of Scripture. John 14:6. Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 15, when Jesus spoke of the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Jesus referred to him as the Spirit of truth. Jesus in John 1:14, I think I got ahead of myself, but the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ. And then again, like I said before, the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, and he is the Spirit of truth. The Scriptures are truth. That is found in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, in view of this knowledge of the Godhead, we know that God is the truth, and he hates lying. He hates it. Look what the Bible says about God and truth. It's no wonder why he commands us not to bear false witness. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. In verse 19, he says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So it's funny how we can label all kinds of sins as abominations or things that God hates. We can get real fiery when it comes to homosexuality, and we can say how vile and vulgar it is, and we will be right. And God calls it an abomination in his word. When it comes to abortion, we can be really passionate about being pro-life and say how wicked it is to kill a baby in a mother's womb. And it is an abomination in the sight of God, and America will be judged for it. But let's not forget that lying is just as much as an abomination, and God hates lying lips, he says, and a lying tongue. Why does God hate lying so much? Again, because he is the God of all truth, and we who are his children are commanded to speak the truth in everything. Everything. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Lying is a characteristic of a lost man, a lost and unregenerate man. It is also the characteristic of the devil. Of the devil. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 44. This is when Jesus was being accused by the Pharisees. He has a big discourse with them in chapter 8. And he says to them in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. We'll see later on that at the beginning he's talking about Genesis chapter 3. And he abode not in the truth because why? There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So our goal as Christians is to be more like Jesus Christ. Right? We want to be Christ-like. We want to emulate in every way possible the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem is when we lie, we're acting like the devil instead. He is the father of lies. And when you lie, again, you're showing characteristics of the devil. You're being devilish, in that sense, if I can say it that way. That's why it's so important that we don't lie. We don't want to be like the devil, amen? We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. So we saw the characteristics of the family of God. Now we see, number two, the different types of falsehoods. And then we see the comparisons from the Old and New Testament. Exodus 20:16, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then in Romans 13:9, Paul gives a summation of the law and says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Just do not lie in general, just not against your neighbor. And then we see the different types of lies. We see letter A, there's general lying. General lying. This is, again, plain and simply not telling the truth. I'll just read it to you. Leviticus 19:11, the Bible says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Neither lie one to another. And what are some of the common reasons why people lie? We know it's because of sin and it's our nature to do so, but specifically, why do people feel the need to not be honest? So we see that people lie to save face, just to save face. Nobody wants people to lose respect for them, so they lie. I mean, I can think of a famous time when someone lied publicly was President Clinton. When he was questioned about a possible affair with Monica Lewinsky, he answered, and I'm not going to do his voice, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. That's what he said publicly to everybody. And of course, we know that the president was telling a bold-faced lie. A bold-faced lie. He came out, the truth came out later on, and it was found out that he was lying to the American public, our president. The same thing happened with a man named Rafael Palmeiro. For you baseball fans out there, on March 17th in 2005, Palmeiro appeared at a congressional hearing about steroids in baseball. And while under oath, he denied ever using steroids and stated, let me start by telling you this. And he had a serious face on, looking right to the congressman. I have never used steroids, period. I don't know how to say it any more clearer than that. Never, ever. Right? And he even famously waved his finger in front of Congress, denying the use. But on August 1st, 2005, Palmeiro was suspended for testing positive for steroids in his system. I mean, bold-faced lie. They want to save face because they know what they did was wrong, so they want to escape, you know, the shame of owning up to what they did. So what's the easiest thing to do? is they lie. These are just two examples of men who lie publicly to save face. There are many more examples. I could use politicians as examples and park it here for like 2 hours and talk about lie after lie that has been told by them in politics. But time won't allow that. Then we see a reason why people lie is that people lie to shift blame. When someone doesn't want to get the blame, they lie and say it wasn't them, or they falsely accuse someone else. This is all, again, because of pride. People's pride will get hurt if they have the blame for something they did wrong. We see that people lie to avoid confrontation. People lie to avoid confrontation. People will lie to not have to answer someone face to face. It's one thing when you can say something behind someone's back, but if someone confronts you, then it's a different story. Then it's like, whoa, wait, I didn't say that. I never said that. Or you know, whatever lie they have to say to avoid the confrontation or to calm it down. They do it to avoid confrontation. Some people lie just to get their way. Just to get their way because they're selfish. They're selfish, they're self-centered, and when they see an opportunity to get their way through lying, they will not hesitate to do so. So they lie just to get their way. Some people lie just to be nice. Just to be nice. Let's say you're eating dinner over someone's house and they ask how the food is. Steak is burnt, it's over-seasoned, it's tougher than leather, and you hate the meal, but you say it's delicious. Amen? You're trying to be nice to the person, but unfortunately, it's lying. I mean, I don't know what to do in that situation, but I don't know. Say it's not your favorite. Then you have people who lie to make themselves just feel better, right? It makes them feel better to lie about someone else. This is a good one. People lie by being silent. You can lie by being silent or not saying anything at all. When a person who knows the truth of a matter but chooses to stay silent, thinking that they're doing something noble, this, in fact, is a form of lying. I mean, I think about when cops are questioning people at a crime scene, right? And they have the, you know, that unwritten rule where they handle it in the streets themselves, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? They handle it themselves, so they don't say nothing. Even though they were eyewitnesses, they won't say anything. This is an example of being silent when they should be telling the truth. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 5, and we'll see what the Bible says on this. Leviticus chapter 5. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." So you can absolutely lie by being silent and not speaking the truth when you're supposed to. The command in Exodus 20:16 is to not bear false witness. We have to be putting away lying and speak the truth. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So we saw general lies. Now we see, letter B, deceit. We see people lie through speaking misleading or deceitful words. The first example of this in the Word of God is found in the Garden of Eden, when the devil deceived Eve. He caused her not to think right about the Lord and his word. The devil said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Eve heard the truth from her creator, and Satan twisted the facts just enough to deceive Eve and gain the advantage. We see that in 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Bible says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So being deceitful is evil, as stated in Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. So to be deceitful, to purposely try to mislead people, is wicked. Again, we see it started with the devil in the garden. He's the father of lies. He's the father of deceit. That's a characteristic of the devil. We don't want to be that way. And a lot of times, you see people will use deceitful tactics to sell or get rid of something. I think of people who are in sales with timeshares or whatnot. You know, they don't tell you what's going to happen if you sign your name on the dotted line. They're just trying to, you know, make you think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if you sign your name here, you're going to have a vacation spot forever. And it ends up that you're stuck in this bad contract for the rest of your life. Junk life insurance, you know, whatever it is people sell. They use deceitful tactics to sell these things. How about people who sell used cars, right? Salesmen will conceal a car's mechanical issue just in time to sell a car just to make a buck, right? They'll take the computer scanner and clear that check engine light so you won't know what's going on, and people don't look into it, and the next thing you know, they bought a lemon. I mean, it's so bad that we had to come up with lemon laws because people were being so deceitful in selling cars. Just because people want to make money, they have to protect the consumer. Now, being deceitful also includes exaggerating, right? To exaggerate, well, let me back up. A lot of people excuse the exaggerations, but we need to understand that this also is a form of lying. It's not being truthful. To exaggerate is to magnify beyond the limits of truth. It means to overstate or to represent disproportionately. I mean, think about people who fish, and they'll go and they'll catch like a sardine or like a guppy, and by the time they get home, it was a great white shark. Exaggerating, right? They caught the fish, but it's not what they said it was. They're exaggerating. Whatever the story is, if you exaggerate to make yourself look good or to impress the person listening, this is being deceitful. It's bearing false witness. How about when someone says, "You always do that," or "You never do this"? Isn't that exaggeration? Now, my son's right here, so I've had this phrase used against me, and I've been guilty of using this phrase too. It's exaggerating. And usually when you're disciplining a child, you say it, or when a child is trying to make a point to their parents, they say it. But as we know, it's exaggerating. You know, no one ever always does something or never does something, except Marcus Junior. So saying always or never is exaggerating, and we should never use these phrases. We see letter C, rumors, gossip, and slander. Spreading rumors or lying about someone through gossip is downright evil. If you don't know the whole truth, you know what you should do? Close your mouth. Or as Miggy would say, shut your empanada hole. Gossip and slander, seriously, is devilish and is rooted in self. For some reason, people feel good about themselves when they gossip or spread false rumors about others. Let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's look at verse 11. I covered this portion of scripture in the church covenant about speaking evil about the brethren. Great portion of scripture, and it's pretty black and white. It says in James 4:11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." So we find here that we should not be speaking evil of others, especially amongst each other, amongst the brethren. We should not be spreading gossip or false rumors, and nor should we be giving an ear to it. It's just as bad as saying it or spreading it, but listening to it is just as bad. Paul speaks on the subject of widows and states in 1 Timothy 5:17, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." So these widows are idle. They have too much time on their hands. Instead of doing something productive, they're spending the day on social media, and they're checking in on the latest gossip. He also spoke about these widows being tattlers. Now, a tattler is one who tattles, one who is idle talker, or someone that tells tales or stories filled with lies. Paul calls these women busybodies, which speaks of people who are always concerned with the affairs of others instead of themselves. People desire to be in the know. They have the scoop on everyone else. They say, "Did you hear? or I should say this, but please keep it between us, knowing that they're going to say it to someone else, right? Because all tattlers and busybodies know other tattlers and busybodies, so they know it's going to spread, right? Or they say, can you keep a secret? People feel important because they know something that others don't, and it feeds their egos. It elevates the person over others. By being in the know about a certain situation, they think it makes them look better and more important to others. To speak ill of others is a dishonest way of praising ourselves. Gossip is a destructive tool, and gossip may be nurtured by bitterness and jealousy, and may be used as a tool of revenge. Gossip and slander has to be shared, right? No one has gossip and just keeps it to themselves, or else it wouldn't be gossip. Gossip and slander are never satisfied with just one person knowing something. It must be shared because misery enjoys company. If you don't want to be the topic of conversation between people, make sure you are not doing the same. Remember, spreading gossip about someone is breaking the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. And that brings us to our third and final point, the results of this fall. Let's go back to our text in Exodus 20, the ninth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we see the results of this fall. Now, there's a compound nature to lying. A lie needs more lies to keep the lie going, right? That's why when you peel back the layers of a scandal, you find out how many lies are involved in a cover-up, all because of pride and because of people who don't want to get caught. Lying can turn a small issue into this big mess. It's like throwing gas on fire. It exacerbates things, right? And lying that is not dealt with at an early age can produce adults that are habitual and compulsive liars. 1 Timothy 4 speaks of, in the latter times, men will speak lies in hypocrisy. Their conscience will be seared with a hot iron. In other words, these men are hardened by their sin. It will be nothing to lie about everything and anything. They have no morals and don't even blink an eye when they are telling a lie. And I have three quick results of this sin of lying. First, we see that we can end up deceiving ourselves. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1. Just about done. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So the most dangerous deception we find here is self-deception. People can get to a place where they start to believe their own lies. One way to do that, if our walk doesn't match our profession, what would that make you? A false professor. A false professor. We must base everything on the truth of God's word and not trust our feelings or our hearts. The second result of lying is destroyed relationships. Destroyed relationships within our homes, our churches, and our friendships. When someone is caught in a lie, it automatically breaks the trust in that relationship. Automatically. And being trustworthy is not a small thing, right? You want to strive to be someone who can be relied on and trusted. Achan's lie not only kept Israel from victory at Ai, it caused the death and shame of his whole family, right? Achan's whole family was stoned to death because of his lie, because of his covetousness, because of his theft. And we saw earlier in Acts 5 how Ananias and Sapphira's dishonesty to God and the man of God caused their own death. So how many jobs are lost because people lie to coworkers and bosses? How many marriages are destroyed because of spouses lying to each other and breaking trust, infidelity, lying about finances? How many children have destroyed relationships with parents and parents with children all because of lying? How many churches have been broken up because of gossip of the man of God, the preacher, the church members, and because of people's inability to bridle that world of iniquity called the tongue that's in their mouth? Then we see the final result of lying or bearing false witness is damnation. Damnation. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Verse 9, the Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. God tells us that lying will not go unpunished. If you are a liar, then you will have to answer for it one day. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now let's go finally to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8, in closing, the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and listen now, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ultimately, the life of a liar, a slanderer, and gossip leads to eternal punishment. God requires truth in us. Please, please do not take the ninth commandment lightly. Lying, as we see, is an abomination in the sight of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.